Good morning to all of you who are with us in the room today, and good morning also to our brothers and sisters who are with us in spirit and in online settings today. It's good to see your faces. We have moved from a situation where we teach lessons trying to encourage us to assemble to the time when we have our folks who are wishing they could assemble. It's interesting how we get reminded of what we have control over and what we don't have control over. I want to thank all of you for your understanding. As Josh mentioned earlier, we are doing our best to be faithful to the Lord and to love our community, both of which are important to every Christian. Our intention is to go about this in a way which respects what our public health officials ask of us. We have researched that. We have done our best to inform ourselves from the medical people's perspective, and we are trying today to go about our service in a way that kind of recognizes that. The ideas that we will have to take about going forward will be interesting. I like that word, interesting, in the choices that we have to make. And some of those choices may get made for us by people who are in authority and high positions in our community settings. What we will do is to think of ways to help all of our families be faithful to the Lord, to remember Him, and to be connected with each other. As you know, we'll not try to meet tonight nor on Wednesday evening, and also our classes next Sunday morning will not meet. We will need to maybe limit also some other group activities as our elders have announced. I appreciate their work and trying to watch out for us and to help us along. This week, what we are going to do is offer the Wednesday night class on 2 Samuel online. John will help us do that. You can join us either at the time when we do the class or as you have time with your family. We recognize not everybody will do this, but some of you will be interested in finishing that book. We left Absalom back in Jerusalem, but not seeing his father's face, that doesn't seem like a good place to leave it. We don't want to leave anybody not seeing the father's face, so we'll do that this Wednesday. Also, while our schedules are interrupted, I'm going to write a thought for the day, each day, or verse for the day from our daily Bible reading mostly. If any of you have things in the congregation or in our family's lives which need to be mentioned, please let me know about that. That will be done on the Facebook page or something like that, and also in Johnny's emails. And that will allow us a way to kind of keep in touch with each other and to work our way forward. Obviously, we have assembled today at a time and now in a way, really, which lets us know that we kind of meet in the shadow of something that is quite unusual and somewhat urgent. The public health officials have the plea that we assist them in flattening the curve, is their language, which means that our purpose is not to keep from getting sick ourselves. Our purpose is to keep from being vehicles which make other people sick and cause medical workers to have to be overloaded with cases that need attention. We do want, as Elijah mentioned in the prayer, to not think that we're doing this afraid or that we are are subject to an out-of-control situation. That's not the spirit in which Christians think about anything. We try to, however, meet our responsibility to be respectful of the community in which we live. In the shadow of something that looks that urgent, there are some truths which seem to be more obvious even than they already were. And I want to call our attention to one of those things today. Okay? To do this, I'd like to read a text which has been in our daily Bible reading and one which we read in our assembly along toward the end of last year, one Sunday night. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. Paul says, he's written about Timothy's task and the need for it. And he says, first of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings or for rulers, and all who are in high positions or all governing authorities, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So I'd like all of us to be reminded on this Sunday morning, out of all others, of three things that there still are, even in the shadow of the urgent. First off, there is good. Don't let the things that happen in life which interrupt schedules and plans and which cause us to have to realize the limitations in our lives and the things that we wish were not like they are to cause us to miss the fact that there is good present. There is good possible in our lives. There is good that we can do right now that we could not have done maybe in the same way or to the same degree 2 weeks ago. Things that are even more important right now. What Paul dwells on here is the first of all forms of prayer idea. I think Paul is generally speaking in this text about what happens when the Lord's people assemble, what happens in our meeting. First of all, prayer. Notice the words that he uses cover the whole gamut. There are prayers which are just requests. There are prayers which are communion with the Father. There are prayers which are in behalf of other people. And there are prayers which are expressions of gratitude for blessings. All forms of prayer need to be a part of a Christian life all the time. Our habit is to wait till we don't know where else to turn and then ask for what we want. There's a relationship with God on the part of God's people envisioned here which is much broader than that. And this is a time for us to fill out our lives, our spiritual lives in that way. He says that this good activity, and I know it's good because he says in verse 3, this is good. He's talking about this, all these forms of prayer. That these forms of prayer be made for all people. I suggest for the time being in your daily prayers, pick out some names and make requests for some of them. Express your relationship to some of them in prayer to the Father. Ask things for them in their behalf. And then, with names attached, be thankful for some of those people. We have reason to be thankful for example, right now especially, that there are people who know about how to handle viral situations like this and who work toward vaccines or who care unselfishly for people who risk making themselves sick in some cases in these ways. Pray also for all who are rulers and governments. Pray for people who bear the responsibility of organizing and keeping peace and providing for the society in the best way we can. It's hard to miss the fact that times like this make us subject to political arguments or blaming either one branch of government or the other one. These aren't times for things like that. This is time for us to pray that people who have responsibility bear it well. Pray for wisdom for them. And we as Christians of all people want to be contributors to goodness in these ways. Pray like this for all people and all authorities so that we may lead a life which is good in all ways. Think about what he says here. A life which is peaceful and quiet. I have an idea that quiet part might not be too hard in some cases right now. All we'd have to do is turn off the TV or the device, and it'll be quiet if our travel is limited. And then a life which is godly and dignified in every way. That last word gets translated in several different ways. Honest, or a life of gravity, or a life of humble consideration, one version puts it. A life of holiness, another says. A life of reverence, another says. Notice that the praying is not for the quiet, peaceable life and godliness and gravity. The prayer is for other people and for those who bear responsibility with the view toward when they are treated right or when they function well, our lives are able to take on a different tone. Still aspire for goodness. Still appreciate it and pray for it and seek it in life. That's an everyday project wherever you are. Secondly, in the shadow of the urgent, there is pleasing. Look at verse 3, first part of it again. This is good and it is pleasing. The idea that there is pleasing anybody at a time of concern or discontent is a remarkable idea. Dissatisfaction would be the normal product of interrupted things and things that are not, we don't think we have control over and things we're concerned about. Remember, there still is someone who is good and who deserves to be pleased. That's God. There is a God who is worthy of our seeking to please Him. And that's what Paul says. There's a God who wants all of us to have life that is whole and rewarding. He is God, our Savior. And what I mean by the phrase I have in front of us here is it says he wants all people to be saved. To be saved means to be whole. And to come to the knowledge of the truth, that would mean to have understanding and meaning and fulfillment about where what's real is concerned in our lives. God wants that for us. God is not the one who causes us or who wants us not to have that. God wants us to have a life which is good in all ways, as the previous point we made. And He is a God who has, as our Savior, and does, as the Father who hears the prayers that we offer up to Him, act so that we may have a life which is good in all ways. What'd be the purpose of praying if we thought God couldn't act or wouldn't? What'd be the purpose of praying thinking that that will enable there to be circumstances where we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity if God didn't want that for us? He doesn't have to be convinced. We pray to Him in behalf of other people so that He can use them in these ways. So there is good, there is pleasing, and then in the shadow of the urgent, they're still true. One of the most confusing and puzzling things about the circumstance that we've all been in recent days is the puzzling conglomeration of voices offering conflicting information about things. No offense to anybody, but you listen to a press conference which says this is a state of emergency, but it doesn't apply to this place or this place. That's a confusing thing. What are we supposed to do in volunteer organizations like ours is as a church? That's confusing. Not everything is, however. There is still the truth. I'm not talking about that situation now. I'm talking about the one which was already true before this present circumstance came and which will be true when this present circumstance is finished. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. This allows us to envision a situation where there is reality based in the nature of this one God. And then here is reality in human experience where we all lived. And they're not separate and disconnected because there's a mediator. Someone who is both God and us, who attaches both realities and allows us to be connected in that way. This one mediator between God and man is Himself man, one man, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Himself, ransom. Ransom is a payment price of freedom or rescue or deliverance. Ransom frees from slavery. Ransom allows there to be release, forgiveness, future, hope, and so forth. Who gave Himself a ransom for all. In a few minutes, we'll remember that ransom price. His body, His blood, Himself. That one sacrifice for sins forever remains the reality that all of us hope for. The circumstance we're in right now reminds us that redemption or forgiveness is not only about guilt. That's not to diminish the idea that, or the fact that we as sinners are subject to judgment. But ransom has to do with something even more than that. That certainly, but from death, from slavery to death. Ransom is that something has been done to not let disease and death have the last word. We ought to be able to be thankful for that fact, that truth, at a time like this. And then there is one message attested or witnessed at the right time, at the proper time, which is for all people, Jew or Gentile. Paul was a herald of it, a preacher, and an apostle sent with authority in its behalf, a teacher to all people of the truth of this one ransom for all people, and to invite faith in that ransom from all people. So there is a present reality, and in its shadow, we're met today, and we're recognizing the reality just in the order of the service, and who can be here if nothing else. But in the shadow of it, there is still the good, the pleasing, and the truth. All right? Everybody today, please be grateful for that. We've been asked to pray today. I'd like to invite you, as this text teaches us to do, to bow with us and let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for a Lord's Day which reminds us of the one great truth that your Son, by your own will, has given Himself a ransom for all, and that the gospel of Christ has invited all of us to faith or dependence on that one payment. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have because of that to draw near to your throne and it be a throne of grace and to call on you as our Father. Today, Father, we do express our thanksgiving for everyone around. We express our thanksgiving for the country in which we live, for all who have contributed to the privileges that we have in the present circumstances of history. We pray, Father, for your blessings upon our people. We pray, Father, make intercession for those who are in high positions, who have responsibilities. We pray that they may exercise their power with wisdom in the interest of righteousness and justice. We pray, Father, we make request, we offer an entreaty for an end to the pandemic, which has been described. And we pray, Father, for those who work in health care, who have special tasks because of the risk of the spread of the virus. We pray that you'll help us to be good neighbors and good citizens in our community and help us through the changes that makes in our schedules and in our plans and in our activities. Help us as a congregation during this time to love you, to love each other, and to love our neighbors. Help us to keep our faith centered in the truth of what your Son has done for us by your own will. Please grant us a life, a way of life, which is characterized by peace and by quiet, and help us to live with a tone of godliness and dignity in our everyday relationships. Father, we thank you that we never have to let illness or death have the last word, knowing that your desire is for all of us to be saved. We praise you and thank you for who you are. We pray that you'll help us to pursue what is good, what is pleasing in your sight, and what is true in our everyday lives this week. Thank you for these dear people present, for our families and loved ones who are with us in other ways today. Please bless us all in the way that it'd be best according to your wisdom and your will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the shadow of the urgent, what stands out is the important. Just looking back a little from the text we've read today, at chapter 2 and verse 7 here, we just mentioned the in faith and truth phrase about Paul's work, in faith and truth. At chapter 1, verse 19, he talked about holding faith and a good conscience as we do our work. In chapter 1 and verse 14, he talked about the grace of the Lord with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Faith, truth, grace, and love, and a good conscience are the things that are important. They're all in Christ. That's where we all want to be and need to abide. If anyone is present today with something between you and being in Christ, during this next song, if you'll let us know about that, it'll be our joy to assist you in response to the Lord. Will you be standing as we sing, "Jesus Loves Me"?